Welcome to the How Do I Become a Christian podcast brought to you by David Makarath. The title of this podcast is Beware of Self-Righteousness, and our text is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, where we read, For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The desire of this podcast, of course, is that we should find the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've produced these messages with the express desire of helping those who are asking the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to become a Christian? Or why should I become a Christian? Well, here in the Sermon on the Mount, a very famous sermon preached by the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives outside Jerusalem, he gives us this advice. He says, beware. It says, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees were the most religious people of Jesus' day. And indeed, there probably were no more religious people, more dedicated to seeking God, being saved through obeying the commands of God, more dedicated to a religious lifestyle and a lifestyle of seeking to be saved by their own good works than the scribes and Pharisees. These men were the religious elite of their day. They were the religious elite in Jerusalem. They were the religious elite in Israel. Now, I say that because in these days, wherever you go in the world, you may find those who say that they're seeking God and have strong confidence that they will be saved from their sins by the way in which they live their lives and the way in which they believe it is necessary to please God. Well, I don't think you'll find anybody who is exceeding the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. These men were as religious as you could get. They were as determined as you could imagine to please God by their own works and to be saved by their own righteousness. But Jesus tells us, except your righteousness, my righteousness, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees tithed mint and anise and cumin. They sought to obey all the laws of God, the commandments of God. But Jesus called them whited sepulchres. He called them whited sepulchres. Inside they were full of dead men's bones. They were religious, and outwardly men admired them. And men said, oh, if only I could be like that, maybe I could get to heaven. But they were hypocrites. And they were not right with God in the way that they thought they were. Your righteousness, my righteousness, must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. That's perplexing. Even if I was to start now, how could my righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? If their righteousness doesn't get them into heaven, if it's not good enough for God, if they have failed to do what God commands, then how can I be saved? Of course, we have this problem. First of all, we tend to think that our sins aren't so bad. We say, well, yes, I'm a sinner and my sins aren't so bad. My lies aren't so bad and my swearing isn't so bad and so on. And I come across so many people who really don't consider sin to be a bad problem. But sin is a terrible problem before a holy God. And the smallest sin, a foul word, for example, is a sin of infinite provocation to a holy God. We tend to think our sins aren't that bad. Or we tend to think that we haven't sinned at all. We excuse our sins, we ignore our sins, we forget our sins, and we think that God will do the same. But God is righteous and holy and cannot do that. If we're to be saved, we must be saved from our sins. We must be saved in our sins, but we must not be saved in order to sin. Lord Jesus died so that we could be saved from our sins. His blood was shed, his body was broken so that we might be forgiven. But sin is exceedingly sinful before Almighty God. And the scribes and the Pharisees sought to address this by their own works. But in the world today, in our Western world, in England here where I'm sitting right now, people are indifferent. They don't care. They think that there is no God. They think there is no judgment to come, but there is certainly a God who reigns over the heavens and the earth, and there is certainly a judgment to come. This podcast is for people who are asking, how do I become a Christian? Maybe God has begun working in your heart. Maybe you're starting to see your sins. Maybe you're starting to see your need of salvation. Maybe you're starting to ask, is there life after death? What comes after death? So the first thing we can see here, if our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees in order for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven, in order for us to go to heaven, first of all, salvation can't be by the law. The scribes and the Pharisees tried that, but they couldn't succeed. They didn't manage it. With all of their efforts, with all of their strength, with all of their attempts, they failed. They failed because they made the outside of the cup clean when the inside was filthy. In other words, everything they did was for show. Everything they did was to outwardly show themselves to be clean before God. But that God looks at the heart. The law cannot save us. We have no strength to keep the law. We have no ability to keep the law because we are sinners. If we are to be saved, we must look for a better righteousness than that found in the Pharisees and their self-righteousness. And of course, that righteousness is found in Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, who never sinned, who lived the life that was pleasing to God, who always loved his Heavenly Father with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind and with all his strength. The Lord Jesus fulfilled the law. He did what the Pharisees could never do. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life in the place of sinners. Now, to be saved in our own strength, rather than saved by someone else, saved by a saviour, saved by the Lord Jesus, to be saved in our own strength isn't possible because of our sin nature. We might be strong enough to lift a rock. We might be strong enough in our minds to solve a difficult math problem, but we are not strong enough to overcome sin. Sin has a grip on us. It has a grip on our hearts and on our lives. We sin because we are sinful. We sin because we are sinners by nature. That's an unpalatable truth for mankind, but we must face up to it. We are sinners by nature. Every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the scribes and the Pharisees could never overcome their sin nature and the sin in their hearts and their disposition towards sin, and neither can we. So therefore, if our righteousness is to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, we need the righteousness of somebody else. So when a person becomes a Christian, when a man or a woman becomes a Christian or a child, we talk about the imputed righteousness of Christ, and what that means is this, that when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for me, because his blood was shed for me, because he made a sacrifice for my sins, because the wrath of God was poured out on him, not only are my sins taken away by his blood, but God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to me. That means that when God looks at me as a Christian, he cannot find fault with me because he sees me clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Some of you will say, I know Christians and they're all a bunch of hypocrites. But you see, Christians are saved by the grace of God. We are not perfect. We one day will be, but we're not perfect in this world. But God, when he sees us, no longer sees us in our sins. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness of Jesus Christ in which a Christian is clothed is the righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, and the righteousness which gives us access into the kingdom of heaven. So the Christian is somebody who is trusting not in himself, but trusting in Jesus Christ, who has the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ and is right with God. His or her sins are forgiven. He has peace with God, and he has certain, sure hope of going to heaven. Now, there is a day of judgment to come, And imagine those scribes and those Pharisees. Imagine a Pharisee, somebody who has tithed mint and anise and cumin, these little herbs, and he's cut 10% of them off and given it to the temple or whatever, or the synagogue. And there he is on the day of judgment, and all his self-righteousness is stripped away. It's seen for what it is. You see all his failures to keep the law, which are many. You see his sins. You see his hypocrisies. You see in his heart there is a great trusting in himself and a belief that by his own works he can be saved. And that Pharisee is damned and ruined because of his own trust in himself and his pride and his failure to be helpless and cast upon God, his trust in his own works. And if we trust in ourselves and our own strength and our own works, we will be the same. We'll be utterly have our self-righteousness displayed before God on the day of judgment. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament and was a mighty missionary for the cause of Jesus Christ, before he became a Christian, before God met with him on the Damascus Road, you can read about that in the book of Acts, he was a murderer of God's people, but he was also a Pharisee of Pharisees. So of all these Pharisees who were trying to be saved by their works, Paul was at the very forefront. If there was a race to get to heaven, Paul was the leader of that race. Yet once he became a Christian and he found that righteousness which comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone, through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul counted all his efforts, all his works, all his tithing, all of his religious practices as a Pharisee, he counted them as rubbish, as dung, compared to the excellency of the knowledge of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You can read about that in the book of Philippians in the New Testament. So we have a problem, and that problem is sin. And we're not able to save ourselves. Our righteousness needs to be so pure, so perfect, so spotless, so complete, so infallible that God cannot find any fault with our righteousness. And that righteousness that we must have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness comes about by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Do you know him? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus? Have you found him? Have you repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul? Amen.